Alive?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I thought I had it. Lena for sure has it.
Okay. That. Okay, everybody, ready to go? We're going to get interrupted by the radio, you know that, no?
Okay.
Okay, we are continuing our Haggadah studies. We concluded Dayenu. It was enough of that. And we went through all of Hashem's kindnesses. We talked about all the wonderful things that happened to us. And at this point, the Baal Haggadah says, Rabban Gamliel Hoya Omer. Rabban Gamliel used to say, Kol Shalei Omar Shleisha Dvarim Elu. Whoever doesn't say these three things, Ba Pesach, on the Pesach holiday, and of course the emphasis here is on the Seder night, La Yotza Yedeche Vasei, I'll translate that literally, has not fulfilled their obligation. The Eluhein, and these are those three things that must be said. Pesach, which alludes to the Paschal offering. Matzah, the unleavened wafers that we eat on the night of Pesach. And Moror, the bitter herbs, which were mandated to eat together with the Korban Pesach and the matzah in temple times, and in today's day and age, the bitter herbs, which are only eaten by dint of rabbinic ordination. So the first thing we need to know is that this is a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah, and the Rebbe in his commentary right away says that going forward, from the words Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer, and after the words of Rabbi Gamliel to say the three things, we go through the three things. Number one, Pesach. We talk about the Pesach. Number two, matzah. We talk about matzah. Number three, the idea of Moror. And then after that, we conclude all this by saying, B'chol devador chayav adam lirois. In every generation, a person has to see himself as if he or she left the land of Egypt. And with this, the Haggadah, the recounting of the story, is going to conclude. And subsequent to that, we begin the process of singing Hashem's praises. After that comes L'fichach, anachnu, chayavim lehedas. Therefore, we're obligated to sing Hashem's praises. So this is really the final volley in Haggadah, the last part of the actual telling the tale, which in and of itself is a form of giving praise, as we've discussed in many of our classes previous. So this is a Mishnah. And the Mishnah is found on Daf Kuf Tezayin, page 116, on the very bottom, in Masechet Pesachim. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Gamliel hoy eimer, kol shela eimer, shleisha dvarim ha'elo. Anybody doesn't say these three things, Pesach liyatza dechavasei, ve'elohim, Pesach matzah amor, verbatim, exactly what the Haggadah says. Now, it's a straight Mishnah. The Rebbe points out that in the Rambam's Haggadah, things do get a little bit different. And that's because in the Rambam's Haggadah, the Rambam had a different version of the Gemara, but that we'll see later on. That's when it comes to the part of B'chol Dor V'dor, in every generation, we say Tzarech Adam Lirois, a person has to see. When the Rambam says Laharois, demonstrate or show. That we're going to talk about later on. This is one continued excerpt, one continued statement from the Mishnah. So therefore, kind of in the beginning, there points out in the Haggadah that you should know that all of this is directly from the Mishnah. And any differences will be a difference in the original text of the Mishnah. And the Rambam had a slightly different version of the Mishnah. Okay. So that's the first thing we have to know. And the question that we may well ask at this point is, so why now are we talking about this? Like, what's the rhyme and reason? We started off going through the story. We had the questions. We had some answers. And we said, okay, let me tell you a story. Children had four questions. So we said, oh, in the beginning, this is what happened. And we were slaves. And let me tell you about that slavery. And let me tell you about that bondage. Let me tell you what we went through. And then here's what Hashem did for us. And we talk about one miracle after another miracle after another miracle until we came to the crowning climax of Dayenu, enumerating all of the miracles and all of the wondrous things Hashem did for us. And now, all of a sudden, we're talking about Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer, Pesach, Matzah, and Moror. So the Shiboli HaLeket puts it this way. He says, Ata chayzer al hatshuva. Now we're going back to the original questions. It's always bothered me as a kid. I ask questions, never get an answer. I say, how come we're dipping things, and how come we're eating matzah, and how come we're eating moror? We didn't get an answer to our question. So he says, this was the question of the Manashtana. Val elu shleisha dvarim mitzvahs hagadah miyosedes. It is on these three things that the whole mitzvah of the Haggadah is founded. So the Shabbat Alakir is telling us two very important things. Number one, he says, in the order of Haggadah, the questions were asked. And we learned that the night of Pesach is supposed to be a give and take, not a monologue. Real education is when questions are asked, when the children are engaged, and when there's a dialogue. That's real education. That's the way you get their interest, their buy-in. That's the way they really learn. So, but the question was asked, and it stimulated conversation, but we never answered the question. We never talked about matzah. We haven't mentioned matzah once yet. The child said, a whole night reading chametz and everything's matzah tonight. We didn't mention anything about bitter herbs. And we have a question of dipping things, why we dip this. So also, dipping ultimately, it dovetails into the mitzvah of Haggadah, why we're doing things in a different order, but it also talks about the maror. It talks about the charoses. I know there was an event that happened. What does matzah have to do with this? So the Shabbat Lahalakat says, excellent. Now, after having discussed the whole golos, the whole deprivation and the suffering and the agony and the anxiety and the miracles of redemption, now we're going to come to talk about the Pesach Matzah Maror. It makes perfect sense. You can't talk about redemption without first talking about slavery and bondage. You can't talk about the importance of all the miracles Hashem did for us. Only you have to follow up and say, okay, and therefore, bottom line, we had matzah, we have Korban Pesach, which this is how the redemption came to its final conclusion. Or as the Malbim puts it, he says, what does it do with me? How does this affect me? Okay, there was a story in antiquity that happened. And the answer is because along with that story came mitzvahs that Hashem gave us, that we should eat matzah and we should have a Korban Pesach, we should have maror. And when is that? Bavur zeh, when all these things are in front of me. The Haggadah is when I have a mitzvah to eat these things. And it's eating these things that becomes the way I demonstrate, not only verbally, but also by virtue of taste and by virtue of showing exactly what the story of Pesach was all about. So that's what the Shabbat Lelechet says. That's number one. Number two, he says, what we're saying at this point is, as we're bringing the Haggadah to its close, we're saying, okay, so what's it all founded on? The whole story is founded on, you can boil it down to three essential principles. And these three essential ideas, they serve as the foundation of everything we discuss. So once you have Pesach, and you have matzah, and you have maror, those are the foundations upon which the whole Haggadah or the whole story is based on. Meaning not the story that happened is based on, but our telling of the story is based on. And we'll elaborate on this in a few moments. Now the Shabbat Lahalakah does some troubleshooting, but in today's day and age, we have no Korban Pesach. So why are we talking about the Korban Pesach? So we will talk about this in future classes, why the Korban Pesach is the first one mentioned. We're not going to talk about that today. But nonetheless, why are we even mentioning it? Why are we repeating the Mishnah when the Mishnah is talking about a different time? Or really, if you want to be honest, Rabbi Gamliel didn't live in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Even in the time when this Mishnah was formulated, already there was no Korban Pesach. So then why are we mentioning Korban Pesach? And the Shabbat Lahalakah answers, that's because there is the questions of the wise child. If you remember, we not only had the children asking four questions, Manashtana, but we also said, Keneged arba ponim divrei Torah, that the Haggadah speaks in four voices, four different kinds of children. There was a wise child, there was a wicked child, there was a simpleton, and then a child who didn't even know how to ask a question. We had to kind of stimulate him. So the wise child's question, he clearly mentions, Imaftida nacha Pesach afikim. He talks about the Korban Pesach. And we said this is one of the voices. So you can't just gloss over it. You can't ignore it. And the Shabbat Lahalakah says, clearly our sages maintain the focus of the Korban Pesach because there are different things that are piled onto the matzah, the Seder plate, and one of them is a Zecher LePesach, the proverbial shank bone. So the Pesach is there. It's not that you haven't taken it out of circulation. And of course it represents a very, very important concept and idea. The Ma'am Lois explains it in a beautiful way. He says it's these three things which really bring forth the story. Up until this point, we heard about the slavery and we went through the Eser Makas, went through the 10 plagues. But then there was the final plague, the Makkah of Bechorot. And this was the plague where the Jewish people also could have been swept up. They too could have been harmed. And we'll elaborate on this in the next class. But there was an issue. By the other plagues, they didn't need protection. The other plagues didn't have to go and hide in their homes. They didn't have to paint the lintels with blood. They didn't have to have Hashem pass over their homes. In fact, it says from the Makkah of Arev that Hashem says, V'hiflesi, I make a difference. Everybody will see. Here's where the Egyptians live. Here's where the Jewish people are living. It'd be obvious. But when it came to Makkah's Bechayres, we had to hunker down. And we had to make a special sign on the door. And the name of the holiday Pesach comes from Posachti, God skipping over our homes. So what on the Seder plate, or what about the Korban Pesach story encapsulates this essence of Makat Bechorot and our being saved, which is a major part of the Exodus, so much so that it influences the way our children are when our children are born, there's something called Pidyon HaBen, and even certain animals that are born, a kosher animal, there's something called Pidyon Petach Hamor, there's a Korban of a Bechor, and then there's Petach Hamor, the firstborn donkey. I mean, there's a bunch of mitzvahs that are connected to this. So he says, so this is the Korban Pesach. That's the part of the story where we specifically were saved. And then he says the Exodus itself. What is the icon of the Exodus? The icon of the Exodus is the matzah. We left with nothing but dough on our backs. And that was our first mitzvah. So that's the matzah. And that's where we describe the actual leaving Mitzrayim. But even though we're talking about Hashem having saved us, and that's great, and we're focusing on going out of Mitzrayim, that's wonderful, we dare not forget what happened. And what reminds us of what happened? The bitter herbs. That's your Pesach, your Matzah, and your Mar. So these are the three essentials that the whole of Haggadah is predicated on. That's what the Shabbat Lelechet says predicated on, and that's how the Ma'am Lois explains it. And so, anybody who doesn't say these three things, Shalei Omar, Shloisha Dvarim Ha'elu, Pesach Matzah Mor, Lo Yotzei Dechivasei. He doesn't fulfill his or her obligation. So the first order of business now is to understand the statement of Rabbi Gamliel. Which of the three things you have to say is pretty clear? Pesach Matzah Mor. What does it mean to say? Just to say words? If you say Pesach Matzah Mor, is that good enough? Is that good enough? Some people think you sit around the Seder, don't say a word about the Haggadah, say Pesach Matzah Mor. Okay, abracadabra can do. Say the magic words, and that's good enough. So the Rebbe says, Na Haggadah, Kol Shalei Omar, does not mean just to say holy words, but rather it means Shalei Pirish Tamon. And where is this? This is a direct quote from the Rashbam. The Rashbam, Rashi doesn't comment on this Mishnah at all, on that part of the Mishnah. However, Rashbam does. It says, Shalei Pirish Tamon, Shalei Omar doesn't mean to verbalize, to say the word Pesach Matzah Mor. You have to explain, what is the Korban Pesach? Why is it relevant? What does it symbolize? You have to go on to develop the idea. And that's, of course, what the next pisco, the next paragraph of the Haggadah is. Pesach, Shoy Yizman Eichlin, Shoy Yavis and Eichlin, Mizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayam, the Korban Pesach that was eaten at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, Al Shumo, why did we eat it? In other words, we're explaining what's going on over here. And the answer is, Al Shum, Shaposach, Amokim, Abati, Avis HaMikdash, B'Mitzrayim, because God skipped over the homes of Mitzrayim, as we just talked about a moment ago. So that's the meaning culturally, Omar. It doesn't just mean to say fancy words. It doesn't just mean to say three things, Pesach, Matzah, Morer. It means to develop and explain what's Pesach, what's Matzah, and what's Morer. This becomes the template of our conversation, of our discussion, of our communication on the night of the Korban Pesach. All right. So now we know a few things. We've learned and understood how Rabbi Gamliel's part of the Mishnah arrives at this point in the Haggadah. We know what we're doing here. We have an idea of what these three things represent, what he even supposed to do. He's supposed to speak about them. And then comes the question, L'yotzei yidei chevasei. You didn't fulfill your obligation the night of Pesach. So, is that literal? If I didn't explain Pesach Matzah Mor, if I read the Haggadah up until this point, I eat the Korban Pesach, I eat my matzah, I eat my mar, I did everything. But I never said this. I never said Pesach Hashoma, Mar Hashoma. I never said that. I never explained Pesach Matzah Mar. Lo Yotzei Dechevaser? Nothing was accomplished? I didn't fulfill the mitzvah? Really? Is that so? Let me ask you another question. Which mitzvah? Which mitzvah requires elucidation? Which mitzvah requires me to explain Pesach, Zushan, or Eichel, Mashema? Is it the mitzvah of eating the Korban Pesach, eating the matzah, and eating the maror? Or is it the mitzvah of Vigarta Levincha, the mitzvah of telling the story? Which one is it? I think it's a very fair question to ask. So the Rebbe, in his commentary in the Haggadah, very interestingly, does not address, at least not on the surface, which mitzvah this is talking about. He does address Le'yotze Dechevase. He didn't fulfill.
If you just said this, would you be fulfilling?
For sure not. Would you fill what?
The mitzvah of?
Of?
Telling.
Ah, you, how do you know it's that mitzvah? Do you understand what I'm saying? Shmulek, where do you go? You got a call on the phone. You remember the number? You got it. Okay. That's the question. Which mitzvah? So really, it would seem that the Rebbe's first order of business is to explain which mitzvah and then tell us if we fulfilled it or not. Very oddly, the Rebbe, in his commentary on the Haggadah, does not talk about which mitzvah. There's a huge dispute amongst the Rishonim, and I'm going to share that with you soon. He doesn't talk about that. He goes straight into the business of Le'yatza Yidei Chevase. Go straight into the business of, you do not fulfill your obligation. And he says a very important word. You did not fulfill your obligation. Kara'ui. Kara'ui means appropriately. You didn't fulfill your obligation appropriately. Aval yotza min ha-toyra. But biblically, you do fulfill the mitzvah. You didn't fulfill it appropriately. There's the right way to do a mitzvah. And then, if you did it this way, as the expression goes in the literature, Torah literature, it's called fulfilling a mitzvah bidi'ovad. Usually pronounced bidi'evad, but really it's bidi'ovad. Bidi'ovad means if you did it. If you did it this way, did you still fulfill the mitzvah? You still fulfill the mitzvah. I'll give you an example. If somebody hears on Rosh Hashanah, tkiyah, here's a tkiyah. 20 minutes later, he hears a Shvarim Trua. A half hour later, he hears a Tkia. Did he or she fulfill the mitzvah of Tkia Shefer?
Yes,
yes. Yeah? As long as you heard it in order. It's a beautiful story from the time of the Muranos, where there was Jews who were, they were called conversos, they were these converts, and they wanted desperately to keep Torah mitzvahs. They were false, fake converts. They just couldn't leave their homes and their comfortable lives and face death or suffering or torture. And so, but they still want to keep mitzvahs. So one of these secret Jews arranged a concert for Rosh Hashanah, and everybody came to the concert. And what did he do? He had many, many musical pieces. Many different, it was a brilliant show. But in the middle of the show, there was a ram's horn that was blown. First the tkiah, and 15 minutes later, it was a shvarim teruah. 20 minutes later, it was a tkiah. Hello? I hear you, Zelda.
Are you standing on top of the Empire State?
No, I'm not standing on top of any Empire State Building. I'm not even in New York. I'm right here at Chabad Flamingo. We're the city that's above Vaughan, Toronto, though, in the city of Vaughan. I lost count at a certain point. I think you mentioned 9 things, Zelda, in the last 2 minutes. You talked about Purim. You talked about Pesach. You talked about the Parsha. You talked about holidays being close together, holidays being far apart. You talked about having nothing in between. Well, you touched on all these things. So which one would you like me to speak about? Well, Zelda, let me say 3 things then. this morning. First of all, there is a direct link from the holiday of Purim that we've just left behind to the holiday of Pesach that we now are moving towards. And that is, and that both of them represent a geula. They both represent Hashem's miracles and deliverance and salvation. And we have this idea that we hope and pray that from one geula, from one redemption, we immediately go into the next redemption. And that this time between Purim and Pesach, which is also proverbially referred to as Bein Hayenes, between the wines, the wine consumed at the Seudat Purim and the Purim feast, and the wine that will be consumed, Be'ezrat Hashem, on the night of Pesach at the Seder, that we hope and pray we'll soon be saying L'chaim to Mashiach, and that this is a time for redemption, which makes this a very special time. And not all of our holidays are close together, Zelda, even though you said that. Purim and Pesach are somewhat close together, a month apart. But the last holiday we had was quite a while ago. The last real holiday biblically we had was over 6 months ago, and that was the holiday of Sukkot. And we did have some illuminating days in the dark winter nights of Hanukkah, but that also was quite a while ago. So the holidays are not necessarily always close together. What is necessarily so is that there is no empty time in between, Zelda. There's no such thing as empty time. Every single minute that Hashem gives us is an opportunity for us to acknowledge His kindness, as it says, Al kol neshima u'neshima. The Gemara says, on the words, kol ha-neshama tahalul ka, yudke, that every neshama should sing Hashem's praises. The Gemara seems to draw a corollary between the word neshama, which means soul, and neshima, which means breath. And the Talmud says that for every breath we draw, we should be thanking Hashem. So there's no empty time. And we're always thanking Hashem, but at the same time, we know that somebody who says halal all the time is considered to be, let's just say, less than appropriate, far less than appropriate. And there are special times to say halal, special times to sing Hashem's praises, and of course, those are the chagim, the festivals, the yamim tovim. And that's because on holidays, we're exalted, we're elevated, we're inspired, and that gives us the strength to be able to do the right things, the good things, the necessary things in the relatively dreary times in between. And it was a long, dreary winter, and we're finally coming out of it, Zelda. And we should have had the koyach, and surely we had the courage and the fortitude to do all the right things. But now, from Pesach to Shavuos, there isn't time to get dreary or to fall into any kind of melancholy, because Adar is a joyous month, and Nisan is a joyous month, and this is a time of tremendous opportunity, Zelda. And you wanted to talk about the Parshat HaShavua, and the Parshat HaShavua is called Shmini, which means eight. Our commentaries say the number eight represents a leap beyond. Interestingly, in modern physics, the figure eight represents the concept of infinity. And the point that's being made to us in Parshat Shmini is by doing what Hashem asks of us, we can connect to the divine, and we can experience a sense of spiritual weightlessness. We can leap beyond, and we can actualize the presence of divinity in every single iota of our existence and in our life. So in short, this is a special time, an elevated time, an inspired time. Let's use it well. Let's prepare for the holiday of Pesach with the hope and optimism that Be'ezrat Hashem, we will not only be celebrating the redemption of old, and the Yetziyah, the Exodus from Mitzrayim, but in Mirtz Hashem this year we'll also be celebrating the redemption that is yet to come, that will soon unfold with the coming of Mashiach, b'mheira o b'yameinu, speedily, and in our days. Amen. Slaves in Mitzrayim. The official amount of time spent in Mitzrayim, what's called Golos Mitzrayim, was 210 years. Realistically speaking, the Warsaw Ghetto or Auschwitz-like conditions in which people were being bludgeoned and murdered and slaughtered was a maximum of 80 years. And we know that because, or 83 years. If you want to be more exact, you can take it as far as 86 years. Miriam, when she was born, she was 6 years older than Moshe, and when Miriam was born, it was said that she was named Miriam because things became very mar, very bitter for the Jewish people. And we know that Miriam was 86 at the time of the Exodus. So the really, really harsh, terrible times couldn't have been more than 86 years. Okay, so getting back to our issue here. Anyway, I was telling you a story with the Muranos, right? So they had this concert and all the Jewish people came and lots of other people came. But in the end, he had enough tkiyah shvarim trua, tkiyah shvarim trua, tkiyah shvarim spread throughout so that everybody fulfilled the mitzvah. And that was the one year that everybody in that part of Spain, living under false identity of being a converso, masquerading as Christians as they were forced to convert, were able to fulfill their mitzvah of listening to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. But ask you a simple question. Is that the lechatchila, the appropriate way to do the mitzvah? Should we be doing that? Should we be creating a concert in shul and everybody should come, get more people to come to shul? Right? Get a concert and you blow a tkiyah. And then we'll have somebody playing the trombone. And then we'll do some violin. And then we'll do some. And then somebody will blow a shvarim. Nobody in his right mind would suggest, why don't we do this? Because it's not appropriate. It was done under extenuating circumstances. It's not the appropriate way to do it. So that when Rabbi Gamliel said that lo yotzei yedei vasai, you didn't fulfill your obligation, he doesn't mean it literally. He doesn't mean it literally. He means you didn't fulfill your obligation appropriately. If you want to do the mitzvah on this night right, you have to talk about Pesach, talk about matzah, and talk about mar. That's the template. It's very important to talk about these things to do the mitzvah right. And the Rebbe says, this is what the Ran says in Pesachim. Now, it's very interesting to me that the Rebbe quotes the Ran, and I'm going to share with you the words of the Ran, because Rabbeinu Nissim wrote commentary on the Gemara, and he also wrote commentary on the halachas that were authored by the first codification. The first halachic codification ever was written by Rabbeinu Alfas, known as the Rif, who was the senior Torah personality in Morocco, in North Africa, and then he emigrated to Spain. We lived there his final years. The Alfas goes back almost 1,000 years, and the Alfas wrote halachas on every single mesechet, on every tractate of Shas. He just took out the conversation, and he just wrote the halachas. And the Ran wrote a commentary on a number of the Rif's halachas. And I think this is why it's telling, because here it's brought down in halacha. The Ran doesn't quote comment in his commentary on Shas, but in halacha, the Rif quotes this Mishnah. And he says, means he didn't fulfill his obligation. So now we're talking halacha. This is serious. Did you or didn't you fulfill your obligation? So the Ran says, "Le'yotzi dechivase kiloimar." What the Rif means to be ruling here is, "Le'yotzi dechivase karoi, av le'yotzi dechivase klal le'kamar." He never meant to say you didn't fulfill your obligation. So I know what you're thinking. You think I don't understand. Rabbi Gamliel meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Did he not say le'yotzi dechivase? Does he not say that? It says koshle amr shleish advarim le'yotzi dechivase. So the Ran says, well, he said that, but he didn't mean it. The Ran says, there's another Gemara like this, and he sends you off to a Mishnah that's found in Masechet Sukkah. And the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah is on page 28, and it's a dispute or discussion in the Mishnah between the elders of Beit Shammai and the elders of Beit Hillel, that if somebody's sitting in the Sukkah, but the table is in the home. So you could imagine this. You have a home, you have an opening, a doorway, and he built a Sukkah onto the door. So you're sitting in the Sukkah, but the table is inside. So there's a machlekes, there's a dispute, that as long as you're primarily in the sukkah, if your table is out of the sukkah, do you still fulfill the mitzvah or not still fulfill the mitzvah? Beit Shammai says no good. That's not called being in the sukkah. Beit Hillel says yes it is. Your food doesn't have a mitzvah to be in the sukkah. You have a mitzvah to be in the sukkah. So the food could be here, and as long as I take the food from here and I eat it here, that's good enough. What's the reason according to Beit Shammai? What, since when did it become a mitzvah for a table to be in the sukkah? Does challah have a mitzvah? Does the stuffed cabbage have a mitzvah? Why does it have to be in the sukkah? The answer is because most people, when they eat, they don't eat like this. They kind of lean into the food. So if you lean into the food and the food is out of the sukkah, where will you be leaning? Out of the sukkah. So the Gemara, the Mishnah records a very interesting event that happened. And they went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Hacheranus. And they found him sitting in a sukkah, but the table was in the house. This tiny little sukkah, no room for the table. So Beis Shammai said, they told him, Beis Hillel said, they didn't say anything to him. Beis Shammai said, yes, they did. They said, "Im keino yisa noyeg." If this is the way he used to fill the mitzvah sukkah, like yamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, you never did the mitzvah sukkah. Never did it. If this is the way you did it, you have never ever fulfilled the mitzvah in your whole life. And everybody understands that it doesn't mean you've never fulfilled a mitzvah ever. It means you didn't fulfill the mitzvah korotwi. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah right. And from here we can see that it is not beyond the pale for the Mishnah to utilize language, verbiage, that seems to be absolute, but it's talking in absolute terms about the best way to do something, the appropriate way to do something, not the bidi-evid way. The Mishnah doesn't come along and say, okay, if you did, in the worst case scenario, you still did. That's not what the Mishnah is going to tell you. The Mishnah is going to tell you, here's how to do it. Here's what you should do if you want to fulfill the mitzvah. Okay, so the Mishnah said what you should do. So the Rebbe doesn't talk about which mitzvah it is. He just says, if it's b'di'eved or not, he says, no, it means min ha-teira, you did do the mitzvah. And then the Rebbe goes off to say, v'chein mashma, so it also seems das harif, that's the opinion of the rif itself, even though, as many have pointed out, in our rif, it doesn't say this. And there's a whole discussion of maybe it meant Rebbeinu Peretz, the Rap, or maybe the Riaf, because they both do say things like this. The rif doesn't say it. And the Rebbe didn't have that version of the Rif either, but the Rebbe says that the opinion of the Rif and the Rashba, in as they're quoted in the Avud Raham. So David ben Avram lives already in a later era of the Rishonim, where he starts already to put together a handbook of what has to be done of halachas, and he quotes these earlier Rishonim of Rif and Rashba saying, "V'ayid the many others." Now, this is not the first time I have noticed the Rebbe not quoting the Haggadah of the Ritva. And I'm wondering if the Rebbe had the Haggadah of the Ritva at the time, if it was in print. I don't know if the Rebbe had it in the early 40s. I have a sneaky suspicion that the Haggadah of the Ritva was only released from manuscript at a later time. But I want to tell you that in the Haggadah of the Ritva, it also says this. It says, the Ritva clearly comments and he says that Liyatzi dechivasei, the Ritva says, what does it mean, Liyatzi dechivasei? It means that you didn't fulfill your obligation, so to speak, milchatchila. He says, here we have a Mishnah, Mashakosav liyotzi dechivasei, pirshu lachachamim, shalakiyam mitzvah karoi. You didn't fill the mitzvah properly. And interestingly, this is also could be found in the Shailos HaTshuvos HaRosh, and in many, many, many other places. But the Rebbe says, V'oid. The Rebbe simply quoted the Ran, which is a commentary on the Rif on Halacha. So it's not just a commentary. It's a commentary on Halacha. And I think that also speaks much, much more volumes than commentary on Gemara or commentary on Halacha. This commentary could be commentary. Here you have Halacha. So the Rif said Halacha, and the Ran's comment, Halachic, is that you still fulfilled the mitzvah. And there are many others, V'oid. Now, the Rebbe never ever discusses which mitzvah it is. Which mitzvah it is. But he does go on to say that they have all written that one could fulfill the mitzvah with simple verbiage, without explaining simple dibur ba'alma, yaitza mitzvah saseh, shel sipur yitzias mitzrayim. With simple words, you fulfill the mitzvah of yitzias mitzrayim. So the interesting thing here is, and for the further research, the Rif doesn't talk about what kind of lechatchilo b'di'evit, what's the layotza, not fulfilling the mitzvah. The Rashba also doesn't talk about it. What they do talk about is the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And they say that the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's sufficient if you mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's not the way you should do it. The way you should do it is to call a marvelous aper. You should discuss it at length. And here we're getting details of how you should discuss it. But if somebody mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, then in and of itself, they fulfill the mitzvah. And the Rebbe sends you off, Rei Le'el, in the Piskah of Mitzvah Leinu L'Saper. Earlier in the Mitzvah Leinu L'Saper, the Rebbe there brings down a question. And the question is asked in many Rishonim, why don't we make a bracha on the mitzvah of reciting the Haggadah? On telling the story. And there are different answers. The Rashba's answer is, you can't make a bracha on the mitzvah of reciting the Haggadah, she'ein lo kitzva yedua, because it doesn't have a modic, or an amount given. It means even the smallest mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim already does it. And if you do it a lot, you have to keep doing it. So there's a question, for example, that's asked. The Riaf says, how come we make a bracha on the reading of the Megillah and we don't make a bracha on the reading of the Haggadah? And what's the answer? To fill the mitzvah of the Megillah, what do you need to hear? The ganze Megillah. You need to hear the whole Megillah. But to fulfill the mitzvah of the Haggadah, you do not have to say the whole Haggadah. Even if you mention Yetzias Mitzrayim, that in and of itself would already be sufficient. So essentially, we see that there is a very, very big difference between the Haggadah and the Megillah. And we see that with the smallest amount of effort, a person is able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yetzias, Zechira on the night of Pesach. And therefore, you cannot say that somebody has to say Pesach, Matzah, Maror, when in fact, you can fulfill the mitzvah with only just one word of mentioning. Do you know how to turn the lights on?
He did it last time. He did. It happened before. We should have a lights monitor. One of us knows as well.
There's a power outage. Okay, everybody, we got a power outage. Could you still see me in the dark? All right, so we're going to keep teaching. All right, so now I want to give you a little bit of background. I want to fill you in about the different opinions with regard to this business of which mitzvah it might be. And then I want to share an insight, I think something very interesting about how the Rebbe words it. So basically we have two opinions in Rishonim with regard to which mitzvah it is. It says, Lo yotzi dechavasi, you didn't fill the mitzvah. Which mitzvah? Though there is the opinion of that brought them by the Erech Haschaim, and some people maintain the name of the Ramban, that the mitzvah is talking about the mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. What does saying have to do with that mitzvah? So they bring it from the Balei HaTosfos that the mitzvah is as v'yomartem zevach Pesach. You'll say it's a zevach Pesach. So since the verse says v'yomartem zevach Pesach, so therefore we can understand that in order to fill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, what do you need to have? You have to say it. V'amartem zevach Pesach. You have to actually say it. And only when you say it, that's when you did the mitzvah. All right, how does that work out with regard to matzah and maror? So we know there's a hekesh, that there's the Gemara says they're linked, they're compared to one another, they're linked together. So if you had to do something to fulfill the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, you would have to do the same thing to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, and the same thing with mitzvah of maror. In which case, which mitzvah is Rabbi Gamliel talking about when he says, if you don't say it, you didn't do the mitzvah? Which? Pesach, matzah, mar. It means, if you just eat a Korban Pesach, but you don't tell anybody why you're eating the Korban Pesach. You just eat matzah, but you don't say why we're eating the matzah. You eat mar, but you never discuss why we eat the mar. You're wasting your time. It's not just a mitzvah to eat it. It's a mitzvah to explain why we're eating it. And this dovetails into the idea that we convey the message not only with our words, but through all the senses. As we discussed in many of our previous classes, it's the most comprehensive educational experience. The children use music, and there's drama, and there's taste, and there's touch. They see the matzah, the show and tell. You look at the matzah, you hold the matzah, you hold the maror, they eat it, they taste it, they sing about it. Every which way in which a message should be conveyed. Right, I once told you about the Howard Gardner's keys, seven keys. All the keys are covered here. Everything is covered in the Pesach experience. It is the original prototype of education. You want to know what education is supposed to look like? Look at our one night a year when it's our responsibility to educate our children the Seder night every which way. So just eating matzah is not good enough. Why? Because if he just ate the matzah, but he didn't tell the child why we're eating the matzah, he misses the point of the matzah. Don't just eat matzah. Explain the matzah to him. Do you understand what this represents? It's the show and tell, but you have to explain it. So if he's just eating it, he's getting indigestion. He doesn't understand. What am I chewing on a cracker for? And this was his question. Why are we eating matzah? So you have to tell him why we're eating matzah. Then there's another opinion. And this is the opinion that's much more widely acclaimed by most of the Shoinim. And that is that we speak here not about the mitzvah of Pesach, matzah, murder, but rather we speak about the mitzvah of the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Incidentally, it seems almost certain that that is the opinion of the Rambam. I'll read to you what the Rambam says. In Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah, laws of Chametz U'Matzah, which is how the Rambam tables or labels the halachas of the Seder, not the Korban Pesach halachas, but the actual observance of Pesach in today's day and age, he says in chapter 7, Halacha Hey, he says like this, Kol Mishalei Amar Shleisha Dvarim, anybody who didn't say three things, Beleil Chamisha Asar. So now the Rambam is interpreting, when you read the Mishnah, it says Bepesach. Maybe you think it means any of the days of Pesach. No. He says it means on the night of the 15th, the night of the Seder. That's what Rabbi Gamliel meant. Those four, here the Rambam added four words to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Bepesach. He said Beleil Chamisha Asar. You didn't fulfill your obligation. And these are they, Pesach Matzo Moror. And then he goes on to explain Pesach and Matzah and Moror. And he says, V'dvarim elu kulam nikrayim Haggadah. Speaking about these things is called Haggadah. My dear friends, the name of the Haggadah comes from what? From the mitzvah in the Torah, v'higadat olavincha. This is the telling. So the Rambam says, speaking about these things is called Haggadah. It's called Haggadah. So the Chaim Brisker has a whole Torah on this, and many of the Achrenim say it's clear in the Rambam that this is the concept of mitzvah zechiras Mitzrayim. That's what it is. The mitzvah of mentioning going out of the land of Mitzrayim. Interestingly, in the Kiryas Sefer, which is written by the Mabit, who was also a great Rishon, it says clearly, Le'yotza Yidei Choyvas Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. However, the Kolboy says otherwise. The Kolboy says like the Balei HaTosfos. He says, no, we're talking here about the mitzvah of doing the actual eating. In the words of the Balei HaTosfos, Kol Sheli Omar, Kaloimar. Even if you'll eat Pesach Matzah Morer, le'yotzi dechavasa, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of eating these things. Because we see that the Torah says you have to say it. It says v'amartem zevach Pesach. So we have these two schools of thought, and we have what the Rambam seems to say, and we have what the Mabit says pretty clearly. But the Ran, for example, doesn't talk about it. And the Rashba doesn't talk about it. The Rif doesn't talk about it. So it seems to me that the Rebbe proves to you that this is talking about the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim by emphasizing the concept of Avol Yotza Min HaTorah. Lo Yotza means Karoi. Why? The Aruch Lener says something very interesting. He says, if this business of saying Pesach zal shuma, matzah zal shuma, morer zal shuma. Why are we eating the Pesach? Why are we eating the matzah? Why are we eating the morer? That if you have to say it before you eat it, then if you eat it without saying it, you did not fulfill the mitzvah at all. Because if that's the mitzvah of Korban Pesach, then that's actually part of the biblical mitzvah. If it's actually part of the biblical mitzvah, you had to say it. If you didn't say it, lo yotzi dechavasi is literal. Ah, but the Rebbe showed us that the Ran explain the words Le'yotza didn't fulfill, not literally didn't fulfill. What did he say? Le'yotzi dechavasei kara'oi. He didn't fulfill the mitzvah appropriately. In that case, it cannot be referring to the mitzvahs of Pesach, Matzah, Morer, because then Le'yotza didn't fulfill would be literal. And since the Ran says, you do fulfill the mitzvah literally, but you just don't fulfill it appropriately, you don't fulfill it fully, Ah, so from this we can now come. He moves directly and he says, he proves to you that the Rif and the Rashba brought in Avud Raham, and many others will tell you that when it comes to the mitzvah of reciting the story, telling the story, that even with Zechira Ba'alma, even if you just mention it, you already fulfilled the mitzvah. And the fact that they talk about fulfilling the mitzvah by just mentioning it, from this we automatically understand that the actual fulfillment of the mitzvah, which is the Amartim, the saying, requires the bir modicum. If it requires a bir modicum, it's impossible to say that it requires, you have to speak about these three things. So here it seems to me what the Rebbe is really telling us is, which mitzvah are we talking about? We're talking about the mitzvah of telling the story. And the proof that we're talking about the mitzvah of telling the story is because the Ran explained that this is lo yotza, you didn't fulfill kara'oi. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah appropriately, fully. But the mitzvah itself, the bare bones of the mitzvah, of course they were satisfied. Of course you did this.
So if you say it on the first two nights, do you have to say it for the rest of
the Pesach? You don't have to. Rambam was very clear. He says this you have to say on the night of Pesach, not on the other nights. In other words, this is part of the story. It's part of the story. And the story is that we should utilize the eating of matzah and the eating of mur and the discussion of Karban Pesach, we should utilize that to tell the story. Yes, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and that's a separate mitzvah. That's not the Haggadah. The mitzvah to eat Karban Pesach, a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of Haggadah, and the mitzvah of Haggadah, fulfilled in its fullest way, is utilizing, harnessing, mustering, and marshaling every telling opportunity, which includes, here's what we're going to eat, and this is why we eat it. Now we're eating something else. Let me tell you why we eat this. That means to tell the story right. To tell the story right means to tell it in every medium possible. So actually, this becomes not just a discussion of how to fill a particular mitzvah, and we shouldn't be part of the Haggadah then. It's not part of the Haggadah. That should be in a halacha that tells you when you do Pesach Matzah Mar, this is how you should do it. What's it doing in the Haggadah? From the fact that it's in the Haggadah, and the Mishnah is taken, if it would just be in the Mishnah, just be a Mishnah, fine, it's a Mishnah, that's what you have to do. But the fact that the Baal Haggadah took that Mishnah and inserted it into the Haggadah tells us that this part of the Haggadah. And therefore, it cannot be literal, because we already learned earlier that if you say anything, you already filled the mitzvah. So it's part of the Haggadah. If the bare minimum, the modicum part of the Haggadah, and that could be fulfilled even with just a mention. But if you want to do the Haggadah right requires the Pesach Matzah Mar. We don't have a Korban Pesach today, the Shabbat like it says, that's true. But still, we could talk about the Korban Pesach. We can point to the Zecher of the Korban Pesach. We should utilize whatever we have of Korban Pesach to fully develop and tell the story. The matzah we are going to eat, the mar we are going to eat, we should explain why we're going to eat the matzah and the mar. Utilize every opportunity to convey on this magical, enchanting night of Torah education in which we parents have an obligation to convey to our children and to their children the profundity of our faith and the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is the birth and beginning of our nationhood. And now we understand the meaning of these three Passover essentials, that they are essentials, essential to the Haggadah, essential to the telling, essential to the narrative of our people. In other words, in summation,
use the props.
That's on a very literal level. But in summation, when we tell about the story of the Jewish people, it seems that there's always three things we have to focus on. You have to focus on the fact that Hashem saved us specifically, which is such a big deal about the Bechor. Bechor Adam and Bechor Behema and Bechor. There's so many mitzvahs that are connected to Hashem saving us. The whole holiday is called Pesach, Hashem skipping over our houses. That's a very important part of the story. You have to tell the story of the matzah, which is ultimately the story of our faith in Hashem. Right? It's our faith. Hashem calls it the Chag HaMatzos because He speaks about us, as the Barditchever says. That's why God speaks about Chag HaMatzos. He speaks about our greatness. You followed me into the desert. We speak about Pesach, speak about Hashem's greatness. We speak about the idea that Hashem loved us. All of these are essential components in the transmission of Judaism. God's love for us, our ancestors' willingness and dedication, and never, ever may we forget the suffering of our people. Never, ever may we forget the deprivation and the horrors that visited us in the past, because if we forget the past, we have no path into the future. And that, my dear friends, is Passover's essentials.